I'm an F1 girl now. Do I look like one? Yes, what does phone. That mean? My coworkers are gonna laugh so hard when they hear this.
Oh my
so just
god.
My hat, my sweater?
Yeah, and the headphones.
I look like I'm a girlfriend in the pit.
Yeah, literally, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Oh my god, that's so funny.
We'll post that to our story.
Oh my god. When you watch one F1 race.
Oh, that's funny. You're gonna need like an alter ego name. Like Charlie or something. Or Claire.
Claire.
Yeah. Okay. Sarah's F1 alter ego is Claire.
Yeah.
Hello, everybody, and welcome
to Ghoul Society. That's my big sister, Jamie.
And that's my little sister, Sarah. We are grateful to be recording on the unceded, stolen territories of the Songhees and Esquimalt First Nations, and the Lekwungen and Wasanich peoples, whose historical relations with the land continue to this day. As uninvited guests, we are committed to disrupting racism and colonial violence within ourselves, our families, and our communities. By listening to this podcast, you've officially been inducted into the Ghoul Society.
And that little bit you that heard at the beginning, Jamie taking a picture of me because she said that I look like a girlfriend of one of the F1 drivers.
Yeah.
Essentially, I look like someone who's sitting in the pit.
F1 girly.
F1 girly, because that's what happens when you watch one F1 race, is that you just begin to look like someone who's at F1 all the time.
That's so funny. I love it. It's a good fit.
Thanks. It's my ghoulie fit.
Yeah. I saw Sarah came in with her Ghoul Society sweater, so yeah. I had to put mine on too.
Yeah, and I'm wearing my ghost girl hat from Two Girls, One Ghost.
Two girls, one ghost. Sorry, we didn't mean to steal that. Sorry. I just got excited.
We just love them.
Yeah. I haven't been listening to them. I feel like I actually should.
I haven't been listening to any podcasts.
True, actually, me neither.
I've just been listening to music and... Yep.
Have you been watching Twin Paranormal?
Yeah. Okay. I've been listening to music and watching Twin Paranormal so much. I get so scared.
I know.
No, it's really bad because sometimes I watch it when I'm sleeping home alone, when no one's home but me. And then I get really scared and I have to fall asleep to Avatar.
Oh,
but then
no.
I can't fall asleep because I'm really scared.
I know. It's actually really scary.
Yeah. But
it's
then really I'm like, scary. If the cats are sleeping, I'm okay.
Yeah.
But if they start acting weird, then I'm in trouble.
Then you're definitely not sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
Shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Shout out them.
What
that's
up?
It. What up? Well, let me think. I also haven't been listening to or watching anything spooky. I was like, maybe I need a break. And it's been kind of a long break.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually been really nice because I've been sleeping like a baby. Turns out if you are watching spooky things all the time, it actually kind of affects your sleep in a big way.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And that's why we all need to watch F1.
Yeah. Circle it back. I've been doing a lot of homework. There's 3 weeks left in the semester. Then I start my practicum.
Woo!
And
woo-hoo!
Yeah, I'm really excited to share the story with you today.
Okay, is it ghosts? Is it true crime? What is it?
It's crime.
Dude, our listeners are going to be like, we're the ghosts.
I know. Well, we're not ghost society. We're ghoul society. Ghoul doesn't mean ghost. Ghoul could be anything. Like a bad guy is a ghoul.
True.
You know, like
you
in Scooby-Doo.
Heard it here
when
first.
They pull off the mask. Those are ghouls.
That's true.
What's wrong with your neck?
I don't know. It's itchy. Stop.
Do you have anything to share?
I got a car.
Yes! Oh my god.
Got a new car.
First car.
First new car ever.
ever. And probably ever.
Yeah. I'm never going to need another car until this one is dead.
How long do you think it'll last you? Like 20 years?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be actually amazing if you can...
I know. Listen, it's beautiful. It's my baby now.
Yeah. You've had it for like a couple weeks now. How's it been feeling?
Amazing.
Great.
It has a heated steering wheel.
What the fuck,
hands
dude?
Are warm.
Mine has water leaking inside the cab, forming a pool, a lake, actually, in the passenger side, like, foot area. Meanwhile, Sarah's got a fucking heated steering wheel.
Listen, that's probably my favorite perk of this car.
Really?
Yeah.
Because so for your hands.
Yeah,
it has nice. Heated seats, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Duh.
That is something that, even though I'm like, it's so stupid, like, that's so nice.
It's
for
so nice.
A girly like me who has back issues all the time and is always using a heating pad, having a heated seat, I think that would prevent a lot of back pain while I'm, like, doing longer drives.
I agree, because I get a lot of back pain when I'm when we drive home to the interior. My back hurts and my butt hurts, and having that heated seat is just, it's so nice.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow, I'm so excited for you.
Thank you. And that is the most exciting thing that's ever happened to me, probably.
Woohoo!
We also just booked a couple days off to go to Tofino in the summer to go camping.
Fun!
Yeah, we're going to go car camping. So we have to buy
a new car.
Yeah, so we have to buy a blow-up mattress for the car. If anyone has car blow-up mattress recommendations, please send them to me, because there's so many air mattresses in the world.
You go on Reddit for that shit?
Yeah, and they're all like, get this one from Lumo or whatever the fuck it's called, and it's a $500 mattress. Because you put in the make and model of your car, and then they send you the mattress for that make and model.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, it's not gonna be cheap to get one of those.
No, but, like, if I go on Amazon, I know, I'm so sorry. Amazon is poopy. But if you go on Amazon and you're like, car air mattress, $100.
Yeah, but like, how long will it last? You know what I mean? Will you end up buying five of those?
That's why I need people's recommendations, because some of them are very highly rated.
Right.
You know, they'll have like 100 reviews.
And... you should go over to youtube.ca.
Yeah.
com.com.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, so we're going to go camping.
Fun.
Yeah.
So cute.
We're excited. We're probably going to do some surfing while we're there.
What? Yep. I always forget that you do that.
I've only done it once.
Oh, okay. That's
not
why.
Me doing it.
Okay. That's
I
why
did
I
it once. Like,
forget.
When did we go? We went, 4 years ago.
Wow.
Feels long.
But you're just going to get up again and do it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Why not?
Like riding a bike.
Oh, I didn't stand up last time.
Oh, okay. I see.
I'm a knee surfer.
Board. Yeah. Yeah.
But true. I'm going to try. I think I'm stronger this year than I was a few years ago. So I have faith in myself that I can do it.
I wish we had like a nicer setup.
I know.
Like Two Girls, One Ghost or Karen in Georgia. But also I can sit on a chair or at a table.
No, we'd have to be on a couch.
Yeah. Definitely need a couch. Okay, you ready?
I'm ready to rumble.
Okay, I'm gonna start with this little sound clip.
Okay.
Let's start at the very beginning. A very good place to start. When you read, you begin with
A, B, C.
When you sing, you begin with Do, Re, Mi.
Do, Re, Mi.
Do, Re, Mi. The first three notes just happen to be Do, Re, Mi.
Do, Re, Mi.
Do, Re, Mi, Fa, Sol, La, Ti.
That's the start. So, on the evening of March 23rd, 1996, Rio D'Angelo receives a package containing two VHS videotapes and a letter that stated, "We have exited our vehicles just as we have entered them." D'Angelo knew exactly who this was from, and so he travels to the address that was given. He arrives at a mansion in a suburb in Rancho Santa Fe, California, where he enters through a back door that was left intentionally unlocked. He uses a video camera to record what he sees in the house. There he finds 39 people dead, in beds, in various rooms around the mansion. They're all wearing black tracksuits, black and white Nikes, shroud covering their head, except for two people, with their ID cards in a small pouch and their suitcases packed and ready to go beside them. This is the story of Heaven's Gate.
Oh, shit! Heaven's Gate!
Heaven's Gate! We're doing it!
Oh my god, I haven't heard this one in so long.
I know.
I'm ready.
I've heard it too many times, but I was like, I think we need to do it. It's like, let's switch it up. Let's do a cult. So, trigger warning for cults, suicide, you know, manipulation, all of that kind of crazy shit. Yeah. Though this isn't the craziest. This is like, I mean, it's like the cult of cults, apparently.
But it's a pretty mild compared to other situations that involve cults.
Yeah. And they all actually seemed like genuinely joyful to be part of this.
But were they brainwashed that way?
Like, yes. Yes, and, you know?
Yes, and.
Also, I just want to say the website is still up and running.
What?
And it's the exact same as it was from
1997. Whoa.
I'll talk about that a little bit later, but this is what it looks like. Everyone, I want you to go to heavensgate.com and you can follow along to see what I'm currently showing Sarah.
How is it still up?
There's two people that are running it. And so it has like all the videos, all of the cult's lore. You can order a copy of their book. You can like email them and they get back to you.
But so is Heaven's Gate still a thing?
Yeah.
But I thought that...
It's like under the radar thing. Let's get into it. Okay. Let's get into it.
I'm confused now.
So we're going to start with Marshall Applewhite. Marshall Applewhite was born in 1931. His father was a minister. Makes sense.
That's how they all start out.
And I think that his father even combined like alien theory into Christian theology.
Okay.
So it started from there.
Start from the bottom.
Now we're here. Marshall served in the U.S. Army. He finished school at Austin College and then taught music at the University of Alabama. He then returned to Houston, Texas, and taught music there. He was the chair of the music department at the University of St. Thomas, but then he was fired because he was having sex with a male student. So not only was he being a creep, I guess we don't know how old the student is. Sorry, I was just assuming. But he was in the 70s, like this, or even earlier, actually. Mm-hmm. It would have been like in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
He was like having sex with another man, which in the 50s, big no-no.
Right, right.
Of course.
Right. So maybe it was a scandal just because they were both men.
Yeah, I think so.
Damn.
So he's fired, and then Marshall's father passed away in the early 70s, which ended up sending Marshall into a super deep depression. He ended up staying at a psychiatric hospital because of this, and this is where he met Bonnie Nettles.
Okay.
During his stay at the psychiatric hospital, he also had what he calls a near-death experience, and I think that's also what added to a lot of, like, why he was searching for something greater.
Mm-hmm.
So Bonnie Nettles, she was born in 1927 in Texas to a Baptist family. She became a registered nurse and married a successful businessman named Joseph in 1949. They had four children together.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 1972, their marriage began to fall apart when Bonnie's belief that Brother Francis, who's a 19th century monk, often spoke to her and gave her instructions on what to do in life.
Oh.
So her husband's like, maybe not.
Damn, he just left?
After 22 years. Well, yeah. No, he didn't leave.
Oh.
No, but he was like, this is, I don't know, this is kind of breaking up our marriage a bit. She became super interested in seances with mediums.
Wow.
To connect with spirits. Yep. But that kind of like consumed her life.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just like, ooh, this little side fun thing.
It was every day, all the time.
Yeah. She wasn't like, we have a ghost podcast.
We have a ghost podcast.
She was like, this is my life. In 1972, Bonnie also saw multiple different psychics who told her that she would meet a tall man with fair complexion that she would end up connecting really deeply with.
Oh.
Working as a nurse, this is when she met Marshall, who was staying at the psych hospital,
right.
Remember? This is where their two worlds collide.
Oh, no.
He's not a patient.
Nurse patient.
Yeah. Fuck. He's a patient. She's the nurse. She's like, let me do an astrological reading for you, honey. And then she does his reading and finds out that their stars are super aligned.
Mm-hmm.
And this sparks their connection. They form a relationship even though he knew that she was married. But the relationship, like, I don't really understand because later on they're like, we don't have sex. We don't, like, the cult is really anti-romance.
Okay.
And, like, anti-human, actually.
Okay.
And anti-human relations. So I don't think that they were, like, dating per se, but they were, like, life partners.
Yeah.
So they
I understand.
Yeah. They ran away from the hospital on January 1st, 1973.
Damn, she broke him out? That's how that is. She broke him out. They didn't run away from the hospital. She was like, come on, I'm getting you out of here.
Yeah.
Damn.
She left her children behind with their father. And he also actually had a family that he also left behind.
Well, maybe it was for the better.
Together, they knew that they could conquer anything. At this point, they wanted to go by new names. First, it started with Bo and Peep. Bo being Bonnie and Peep being Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
And then later, they used the names T and Doe.
Right.
And this was literally from The Sound of Music because they were obsessed with The Sound of Music.
Oh, okay.
That's why I played that little intro.
A little clippy.
It's also interesting because you know how it's like do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, and ti is like the beginning and do is the end. So it's kind of like, I was thinking about how it's like this power dynamic between them and like hierarchy.
Probably.
Do is Marshall and ti is Bonnie.
Right.
So that's just a little thing. They also called themselves the two after the two lampstands, which were prophesized in the Bible. And this was around 1975 when they were doing this.
Okay.
I don't really know the Bible, so I don't quite know what that means, but someone probably does.
Someone who's read or reads the Bible, can you let us know?
Yeah, please? The two lampstands.
Yeah.
Let us know what that means.
Thank you.
I could so easily Google it. Look, I'm not going to.
That's okay.
Then they took a 6-month-long road trip across the U.S., connecting over their beliefs and the meaning of life. And again, of course, they just left their families behind. They were like, we don't care. This is amazing. We need to share this with people.
Right.
So they're like, we got to start spreading our message. And our message is this. We are Christ-like extraterrestrials who had taken human form.
I quit. I literally quit.
They're aliens.
Sorry, what?
They're Where Christian did they get... aliens.
Where did they get that from?
Just
their brains?
Yep.
Okay. Sure.
Maybe they got it from the monk that's talking to Bonnie.
Maybe.
Yeah. In 1975, Doe and T, Bonnie and Marshall, Marshall and Bonnie, they gave a presentation in Oregon, and this presentation was about the new group that they wanted to create called Human Individual Metamorphosis.
Uh-huh.
It was all about conspiracy theories, sci-fi, UFOs, but under the guise of like Christianity.
Right.
They made flyers for it, which you can find online still, with like a UFO and then two paragraphs with information on what the group was about.
Okay.
It was during these types of presentations that they shared with everyone that they were sent from, quote, the level above human, and will return to that level in a spaceship within the next few months. So this was in 75, okay?
Okay.
I just want to give a little jump ahead, that a foreshadow, that's the word I was looking for, that the cult doesn't end until 96.
Yeah.
So 21 years.
Yeah.
But they're like, the spaceship is coming in a few months.
Right.
So there's that sense of like urgency.
Yeah.
Which is always a part of cults, mm-hmm. of like, you need to get, come on, because we're going. And if you miss it, this is your only chance.
Yeah. And then you're going to die.
Yeah.
On Earth.
Yeah. Or like, you won't be part of this like salvation thing.
Yeah.
And of course they wanted people to know so that mm-hmm. they could join them and grow their group. Mm-hmm. Their first follower, whose name is Sharon Morgan, she left her family to join them. However, a month later, Sharon returned to her family. She was like, never mind. And had Bonnie and Marshall charged with credit card fraud for using her credit cards, even though she had consented to their use.
Oh.
She was like, yeah, you can use them. And then she was like, no, I was scammed. The charges were eventually dropped. But I thought that was an interesting little aside. Over the next handful of years, they would continue to travel around to promote human individual metamorphosis. Essentially, it was about a UFO spaceship that was going to come to Earth and take them away, elevating them to a new world and a better life, literally bringing them into the heavens. They started calling this TELA, which stood for the evolutionary level above human. At one of their presentations, over 200 people showed up, but only a small amount would join afterward.
Hmm.
Still, of course, this was quite intense because they were obviously able to convince people to leave their homes, their belongings, their families, and just travel around the country with them.
Damn.
And some of them stayed with them for like the next 20 years. Yeah. So while they traveled, they lived in extreme poverty. They often lived on the road, but at times when they got enough members to join, aka enough money, they would rent a house as a group for a while until they needed to move on.
Right.
Some suspected that Doe and T were super paranoid of being found out, which is why they were always
moving.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, that makes sense.
So followers gave up their conventional lives as they were seeking for spiritual answers. They all truly believed what they were preaching as they were searching for the meaning of life, something beyond the ordinary everyday.
Right.
This era was huge on spiritual enlightenment, which came through the counterculture of a post-war world that was filled with social chaos. You know, there's like the Vietnam War is happening. Right. Everyone is fucking mad. Everyone's doing drugs. Everyone's like, we don't want to live this like nuclear family lifestyle. And so it's just, there's also probably a lot of other political things, and it's just chaotic. Further, the 60s and 70s in particular was a time of alternative religious experience and individualism found in collective spiritual experiences, which helped the growth of the cult over time. The cult was attractive because of the blend of self-discipline, unity, sci-fi, and modern Christianity. They actually taught that Mary from the Bible was impregnated from being taken up into a spacecraft, which actually kind of makes more sense than the fact that she didn't, that she was a virgin.
Wait, well, how did she get pregnant?
From aliens.
I'm sorry, Christians or people that believe in God, Jesus, etc.
Yeah.
But for those of us who don't believe in one singular God, that's like kind of on the same level of like possibility.
Yeah. Like, why not?
Yeah.
It's like,
if she can be pregnant by herself, why can aliens get her pregnant?
Exactly. Thank you. Yeah. Often people that joined were feeling lost in their lives, and so they would connect with all of this like super deeply. Now, when you joined as a new member, you would have to,
Photo.
Abandon your family. Turn over any and all of your money.
Well, duh.
You'd have to cleanse your body of impure influence like fast food and sexual thoughts. And during this cleansing period, you could only drink the following cleanse. Lemonade with cayenne pepper and maple syrup.
Oh my God.
And that's all you could drink for 3 months. And so, yeah, that was in order to become an official member. You had to do that.
Holy shit.
The group instituted strict rules such as no sex, no human-level relationships, and no socializing. Of course, this made it easier for Marshall and Bonnie to claim control over the group as they were, like, super isolated.
But then if they're not allowed any social relations...
With each other, they can, because they're not humans.
Oh, once you're a member, you're no longer human?
Yeah, kinda. Or, like, because you believe that you're gonna...
You've realized your true potential as an alien.
Yeah, and you're gonna leave your human form. So you're not really a human.
Okay, so they socialize with each other. They can't socialize with humans.
Yes, that's right.
That's why I was confused.
Yeah, but they can, like, socialize within their group.
Right.
And I think they actually had, like, a pretty joyous group dynamic. And, like, they would sing songs together and hang out.
Honestly, good for them.
Yeah.
I know.
They're kind of, like, good for them. But I'm also, like, damn, this is really sad and fucked up because also people were just, like, manipulated into thinking that... I mean, by the end.
Yeah.
If the end didn't end the way it ended, then, like, I wouldn't feel the same way that I do.
Right.
A surviving group member claims... So, an ex-group member... claims that everything was designed to be an exact duplicate. You were not to come up with, well, I'm going to make the pancakes this big. There was a mixture, a size, how long you cooked it on one side, how much the burner was on, how many a person got, how the syrup was poured on it, everything.
Whoa.
This person said that even male members would shave their faces in a super specific way as well. So they were like... Duplicates of each other,
right?
Kind of. Anyway, so the cult is continuing on traveling around, picking up new members, preaching the word of a spaceship that was going to come and beam them up away from this hellish land and take them to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
They were able to pay for housing and other expenses from the members, and as the group moved around, they were actually super secretive about their lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Anytime they stayed in a new place, they would cover all of the windows at their homes,
mm-hmm.
and they would, like, try not to leave, essentially. Yeah. At this time, they had about 40 members. In Texas, they told their followers that a forthcoming of aliens was happening soon. And this is interesting because, of course, their cult really flourished, like, in the Southwest United States, where UFO sightings have been common since the post-war boom in aviation and the government's use of the region for nuclear testing.
Right.
So people are like, yeah, this makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, there's aliens.
Doe and T instructed them, so on one, this is something that they were kind of testing their members with.
Okay.
But the members didn't know.
Okay.
So they instructed their followers to wait outside all night because they claimed that their spaceship was coming and it was going to beam them up. So they're like, on this night, let's wait outside, and tonight's the night, essentially.
Okay. And they're going to beam me up like in Star Trek.
Yes. And actually, funny that you mentioned Star Trek, because one of the members of the group near the end, I think he died. He was the brother of an actress on Star Trek. So he's, like, very involved with sci-fi. And, like, the group was, like, obsessed with Star Trek and Star Wars and, like, all of this kind of things, too. So the group is waiting outside. And they're waiting.
And they're waiting.
And the sun rises.
Yeah.
And, obviously, no spaceship.
No beam me up, Scotty.
No. This is when Doe and T inform them that actually no aliens were coming. It was just a test of faith to see if they were loyal.
Damn, if that happened, though, I think I'd be pretty pissed. Because I'd be like, why would you lie to me like that?
Yeah. Well, I wonder if you would feel that, or if you would be like, oh, like, I kind of feel, like, good about myself that I was able to, like, withstand this test, and now they're proud of me, and I feel this, like, you know?
Yeah, that is true.
It's kind of...
Yeah.
I know. I think
disappointment of not being carried off into the spaceship.
I know.
Had to have been there.
Yeah, I think so. And it's interesting because they actually would do these tests kind of often.
Oh.
So.
That's so.
I feel like people would start being like, I don't believe that this is actually going to happen anymore. Because they're like doing the test too much. But anyway, this made Do and T realize how much power and control they had over their members. And as time went on, the members were becoming desperate for Marshall's approval, which created a super competitive environment within the cult family. Another focus of the group was abstaining from any sexual desires. This was the case from the beginning, but it began to be more intense through the decades. Some members opted for surgical castration.
Whoa.
And the group members actually wanted to do this to prove to Marshall and probably themselves that they were super loyal.
Whoa.
I know.
Like, men can just do that?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
I know.
But if I went and I was like, I want to tie my tubes, I'd say, what if you want kids? Classic. Fuck off.
Well, no, okay, so let me tell you something, though.
Tell me how it is.
Okay, well, first, I just want you to know that Marshall viewed sexuality as one of the most powerful forces that bound humans to their bodies, which prevented them from evolving to the next level.
Got it.
Initially, they actually did the castrations themselves. Because one of the group members was a retired nurse.
No.
And so was T. She was a nurse.
Get out.
Here's the thing. This resulted in a member almost dying. It's from a sepsis. Really fucked up story. Yeah.
Holy shit.
So, okay. Also, I should have said this at the beginning, but there's this podcast. It's just called Heaven's Gate.
Yes.
And it's like a 10-part series.
Yeah.
And it is so good. It's one of my most favorite podcasts.
I think I listened to it.
Yeah, it's like crazy. And there's an episode on this, like,
whoa,
more specifically,
yeah,
on what happened with the what's it called, castrations, and the story of the member almost dying. And it's really fucked up.
Holy.
So a member almost died. After that happened, another member left the group because they were like, this is really fucking extreme.
Yeah.
And I actually don't want to be involved anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So then every castration after that was done in the hospital, which is what you were saying. Like, yeah, you can just go and
get like a man can just go and be like, I want to be sterilized.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like when they do.
But why didn't they just. Yeah. But why didn't they just do that? What is it called?
Don't remember. Slip, right, snip. Now. Yeah.
Why it didn't?
I think that's like what they meant.
Oh, is that what they mean?
There's different ways to do castration. There's chemical castration.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's like tying your balls, and then they like slowly fall off.
Yeah.
Which is so fucked up to me.
But is that what they did?
I don't remember.
Or did they just like sever the?
Yeah.
Nerves connect whatever, you know.
I don't know. Wait, let's
vasectomy.
Pause. Yes, okay, thank you.
Oh, hell.
The thing is, so a vasectomy doesn't make you not want to have sex though. A vasectomy just makes it so that you can't get pregnant, right? And they didn't want to have sex. They didn't want the desire to have sex.
And they thought it came from
what?
The balls?
No, I mean like if you remove your genitals, specifically your balls, then your body doesn't produce testosterone anymore.
Oh.
And so your libido goes like way down. Like your libido is essentially non-existent.
Right.
That's how I understand it anyway.
But testosterone doesn't strictly come from that, obviously, because we have testosterone.
Yeah, but you're kind of like disrupting the way that your like sex hormones are functioning.
Yeah.
So I guess it's not like specifically testosterone, but you're disrupting your hormones. And so your libido gets like fucked up, which also makes, because I think what's happening then is like now your estrogen levels are higher than your testosterone levels, and high levels of estrogen can sometimes also just be like low libido as well. Right.
Hormones,
cray cray.
They're super fun.
Yeah, so that's just a little fucked up side part of this whole thing.
That is so crazy.
I know. As the 1980s rolled along, they gained upwards of 80 followers, which is too many people.
That's a lot of people. And they're renting houses?
Yeah, sometimes.
Oh my god.
I know. Many of these followers held working jobs with computers or as car mechanics. In a strange twist, 2 years later in 1982, T and Doe allowed their followers to call their families.
Whoa.
This was kind of the first time that this happened. And you can actually find like recorded phone calls of this. This is in the podcast as well as like...
How were they recorded?
I think it was specifically in one case where this family was trying to find their daughter. And so they had the lines tapped.
Yeah.
And then there's like a phone call of the mom talking to the daughter. And the mom's like, when are you coming back home? And she's like, I don't know, never.
That's and it's so like, sad.
So sad. I know. It's really
imagine
sad.
Imagine being a parent and you don't, and your kid leaves forever.
Yeah.
Because then you get a call from them out of the blue.
Yeah.
And they're just like, hi, I'm never going to see you again.
Yeah. And it's so crazy too, because it's like a lot. I've tried to do some research about this, but they say like, if you're trying to help someone that's in a cult, like you can't just be like, you need to get out, like get out, like blah, blah, blah. Cause then they're just like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Like they're immediately super defensive and you have to just lightly make suggestions to make them realize like this position that they're in and try to like slowly ease them out of it. And so, yeah.
Yeah.
So even this mom, like she knew that she couldn't just be like, you need to come home, like blah, blah, blah. So she just tried to be like, I want to see you. Like, I really miss you, all this kind of stuff. And the daughter was like, oh, I miss you too. But like, I'm not coming home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy. Yeah. And it's pretty sad too, because a lot of the members, they're like really fucking smart people.
Right.
And they just wanted more out of life.
Yeah.
Not all of them were just like hippies from like alternative religion.
Yeah.
They were just like, so many different types of people, you know. Then a year later in 1983, the followers were allowed to visit their families on Mother's Day, and this was never allowed before. So it's just like one visit, that's it.
Yeah.
Kind of crazy. Like, I'm sure that there was people in the group for the last like almost 10 years.
Yeah.
However, they instructed to tell their family that they were studying computers at a monastery.
Oh.
And they, like, the intent of all of this was just to let family members know that they are alive,
right,
that they're happy, that they're doing well, and that they want to be there and that they're there by choice.
Right.
Because I think a lot was happening, a lot of missing persons shit was going on, and, like, where are my loved ones kind of thing. And so they were like, okay, let's, like, and it was all, like, in the mass media. And so I think Doe and T were like, we got to calm this shit down.
Yeah.
Let's just let them see their family members.
Right.
So at that point, there was like 80 people, right? But then by the 1990s, membership was down to only 26 people.
Oh, wow.
I'm thinking either they did less recruitment or maybe like even that family visit could have really stuck in people's minds.
Yeah. Like I want to see my family again.
Yeah. Or like people were just kind of like, I don't want to be involved anymore.
Yeah.
Because I think it slowly gains its intensity, right? Like, it never starts so intense.
Yeah.
It just slowly ramps up.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like Nexium too,
right?
I think about that. And in that same year, we're back to 1983, Bonnie actually had to have, so maybe this is also why people left in the 90s. Bonnie had to have one of her eyes removed.
Whoa.
Due to cancer.
Whoa.
And the doctors told her that it was spreading and that she needed to get treatment or she was going to die.
Whoa.
But Bonnie was like, no.
Oh.
She was like, I can't die. I won't die.
Oh.
And the cancer spread and she passed away in 1985.
Right.
2 years later.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so sad.
So after this, Marshall was super devastated because Bonnie was the brains and Marshall was the speaker of the group.
Mm-hmm.
How was he ever going to continue without
her?
He was also worried that Bonnie's life ending from cancer instead of from an alien abduction was going to be difficult to explain to their followers.
Yeah.
However, he told the group that her broken down vehicle was left behind and her soul ascended into the spaceship. Yeah. Bonnie's passing turned the cult into believing further that their bodies were just vessels carrying them on their journey, which could be abandoned at any time.
Yeah.
And they believed that Bonnie was chosen by the next level to be a messenger on Earth.
Well, and that's not even like a giant, that's not even a big leap.
No.
To assume that.
No.
Because they're like, oh, the spaceship is coming for us, and then it never comes. And then Bonnie dies.
Yeah.
And Marshall's like, oh, it was her soul. So,
yeah,
our souls are trapped. And then it's like, duh.
Yeah.
Because the spaceship hasn't come for us.
Yeah. And so I also think probably a lot of people, like the 26 people, went that way.
Yeah.
And then the other handful of people were like, oh, actually, like,
no.
If this involves, like, death, maybe, like, if the only way is to kind of die and get your soul up there, then maybe we don't want to be involved.
Right.
Because I think at first they were like, no, the aliens will come and get our bodies.
Yeah.
But now it's like, oh, no, you're going to die first.
Yeah.
And so maybe that's also why so many people left the cult, like, in the next few years.
Yeah.
So in 1993, 10 years later, the group rebranded. They called themselves... So they're still not called Heaven's Gate at this point. They're called Total Overcomers Anonymous.
Okay.
At this point, they'd moved to California and started actively using the internet to transmit their messages. The internet, obviously, as we know, was super new at this time.
Yeah.
And Heaven's Gate was on top of this because they had so many computer scientists and really fucking smart people.
Yeah.
And so they were building their webpage, obviously, the one that is still active now, to get more people to join their group.
Right.
They also published advertisements that warned the public that there was a, quote, catastrophic judgment to befall the Earth, end quote, which ended up bringing new members to the group as well.
I mean, yeah, because that is also in a lot of religions.
Yeah, it's the doom.
Yeah, doomsday.
Yeah, like if you don't have your salvation, then...
Then you go to hell.
Yeah.
Is that how that works?
I guess so. And by the later 1990s, they were back up to 39 members. Or sorry, I guess the mid-1990s.
Right. Okay.
They used the money they made from their online businesses, like creating the websites for people, to rent a mansion in a gated community outside of San Diego.
Damn, they made that much money?
Yeah. Well, and also they got everyone's money when they joined.
Yeah.
Like, all of their money. So I'm sure there were also, like, really wealthy people that joined the group.
Got it.
So I think that they just kind of had, like, a ton of money. Yeah.
Cool. Okay.
So Bonnie died, right? And now they're like, our body is just a container of our souls. Mm-hmm. Our souls are going to be placed into our new bodies, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, Marshall is thinking about suicide. To reach the next level.
Yeah.
He decides to express this to the group. He claims that they can abandon all of their vehicles and they can reach the next level. And that everything human had to be left behind before one could ascend.
Yeah.
This is when the group was renamed to Heaven's Gate.
Mm-hmm.
At this point as well, members adopted similar clothing, haircuts, and like everything. So again,
they're all the same.
And this also kind of reinforced that they were, like, a non-sexual family.
Right.
You know, if you're all just kind of, like, exactly the same. You don't want to boink each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
In October 1996, the group was renting that big mansion in Rancho Santa Fe, which they called the Monastery.
Oh.
Rent at this time was $7,000 a month.
Holy fuck.
I know.
In the 90s?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I know. But they're in a mansion.
I know.
In Cali.
Who owned this mansion?
I don't know. I know.
Where is it? Who owns it now?
I was going to look that up and then I got sidetracked. I do want to know. You want me to look it up?
Yeah. Do you think people drive by there? Yeah.
Yeah, I do. Well, in 2007, the mansion was up for sale.
Oh. Uh-oh. What did you find? Did it burn down in the fires?
Ah.
What?
I think that... Remember when O.J. Simpson killed his wife?
Yeah.
I think it was at this same place.
What? No.
Okay, the owner was Sam Cucistefani.
Okay.
And in 2007, he wanted $1.6 million for it.
Okay. I feel like that's not a lot.
No, it's not that much.
But I guess because...
Because
I guess having Skate happened in it. Probably maybe, can't get a lot for it.
And so, yeah, it's talking about, like, the suicides, but then there's a part of this... I'm just reading a transcript from, like, a video.
Yeah.
And it says, he helped sell the Bundy estate. Oh. That was the Bundy estate. Okay.
Oh.
Disregard. Yeah, so, I don't know. Just some random guy is the owner.
Okay.
Boo. I think it was just the same person who sold the house that O.J. Simpson murdered his wife at.
Yeah.
Is the same person that's trying to sell this mansion. That was in 07, though. Fucking who knows? Like, there's nothing.
I wonder if it's even there, though. Could have burned down in the fires.
Maybe. Oh, true.
Because I'm pretty sure that area had a really big fire.
Right. You're so right. Anyway, no idea. Okay, so I'm just seeing a lot of things from, like, the 90s right now.
Damn, that's upsetting.
Yeah. Actually, wait. Okay, here we go. In 1999, the property was bought by William Strong, a local developer, for only $668,000. The actual value was worth $1.4 million.
Holy.
Neighbors reportedly bought the house later, demolished it, and built a similar-looking residence. Because of the notoriety, the residents of the area decided to change the street name to Paseo Victoria, with the new house number being 18239. While there are no remains of cult activity anymore, the locality can still be visited if one wishes to.
Whoa.
I love how they're like, let's change the address and the street name. And everyone's like, here's the new address and the street name.
You can go see it. You can kind of look similar to the old house.
Yeah. And so it's like, oh my God. You're not changing the problem. Yeah. Crazy.
I wonder if they have any spiritual activity.
Maybe. I mean.
Because they tore down the house.
And.
It's a lot of movement.
Yeah.
Wow. So, okay.
The group purchased alien abduction insurance, which I
from
did
who?
Not know.
Is that a thing?
I think so.
Can I have it?
I don't think you can have it. Is I think it you need US? To live in the United States of fucking America.
The non-United States?
Truly. Truly. And so this covered up to 50 members. And it would pay out $1 million per person. And the policy covered abduction, impregnation, or death by aliens. I don't know, to their families? But like only
but if... But isn't that what they wanted?
Only if they were abducted, impregnated, or killed by aliens. So like, one, how do you prove any of that to get your $1 million liability? Two, how would you prove that?
But don't...
Same.
Well, what's the difference between being abducted and them being beamed up?
Well...
Isn't that the same?
I think that you would actually have to... But they're not abducted. They just died.
I know. But originally, they were going to be beamed up.
Well, they thought they were.
Okay. But that's what an abduction is. Like, all alien abduction stories, they're like, I got beamed up.
So, it's, sorry. So, yeah, it's the same thing.
Oh,
but, like, obviously, this insurance doesn't actually work because they ended up
I need to know what company. Suicide. I need to know how much they paid for that insurance.
Bruh, probably so much.
And okay. Like, what company is doing, who made this company that is doing this? They just committed fraud.
Yeah, true.
That's crazy.
Yeah. The group also recorded video messages in which they offered their viewers their last chance to evacuate Earth, and they uploaded these videos onto their website. Wow. They were all getting prepared for the next level. The following techniques are the way to enter the next level.
Okay.
One, it can be a physical pickup onto a Tela spacecraft and transfer to a next level body aboard that craft. Okay. Two, natural death, accidental death, or death from random violence. Three, outside persecution that leads to death. So with this one, Marshall was fearful that the government was going to kill the members of the cult.
Right.
Because the government was, like, coming down on other mm-hmm. things, like Waco, you know?
Yep. Oh, Waco was so bad.
Yeah. Or four, a willful exit from the body in a dignified manner. Initially, this was not part of the scheme. Right. As we talked about, mm-hmm. because the group was actually against suicide in the beginning, because right. they were like, this doesn't count. However, as time went on, Marshall added this in because he realized the spacecraft was never coming to them and they would have to go to it.
He also probably missed Bonnie.
Yeah. Huge miss Bonnie. Because Bonnie was in the spaceship.
Yeah.
So, meanwhile, all of this, so they're like, we're preparing, because you know what? A comet is coming by. Hail Bop.
Oh no, not the comet.
Yep. Our sweet little Hail Bop comet. Now, people are going crazy for this comet. Since it's once in a lifetime, it's super bright, it's super exciting.
Yeah.
They're like, we're so excited to see this. It's going to be such a fun time. Let's have a Hail Bop party. And also, the name is just really fun.
Yes.
The group concluded that this comet actually had a spaceship following it. And Bonnie was in that fucking spaceship. So they put ads in the newspaper urging everyone to join and that this was their final warning.
Shit.
That's why on the website, at the very top, it says, Red Alert, Hail Bop brings closure to Heaven's Gate. Because this is how they're going to get out and they are going to get onto their spaceship.
And they're going to see Bonnie.
They're going to see Bonnie. They're going to be reunited.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
They believed that this spaceship was the one that would take their spirits on board for a yeah. journey to another planet, the heavens, where they would live forever in pure bliss, nourishing mm-hmm. themselves only through the absorption of pure sunlight. They would wow. not engage in sex, eating, or dying, the things that make humans mammalian.
Honestly, sounds kind of nice.
I know.
I get it. That sounds...
Yeah, sounds great, right?
Yeah, that sounds like a nice vacation.
Except the vacation that never ends.
Yeah.
Marshall also believed that a government conspiracy was mm-hmm. actually protecting the spaceship.
Oh.
And that they knew about it, but Whoa. They were like, let's not talk about it. So, March. Holy. That was all October, right?
That was all October.
Well, Holy. Like, between October... Right. And March.
Right.
March 1997.
Okay.
Leading up to the isolation, so they get more isolated, you know, blah, 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 mm-hmm. Hail Bop, all this stuff.
Yeah.
Da, 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 da. They're getting ready. On March 13th, media reported on mass sightings of unidentified lights over Phoenix.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
A series of widely sighted UFOs mm-hmm. observed in the skies over the southwestern United States.
Yep.
So I've watched videos on the lights over Phoenix. I didn't even think about how this lined up mm-hmm. literally perfectly. But this is like another super fucking clear evidence for them to be yeah. like, yep, this makes sense.
Like it's happening because
it's happening. All
because the sightings are happening.
Yep. Exactly. They isolated themselves further and they recorded their final statements on VHS, which you can still watch today.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. In these videos, the members are giddy and giggling and they're super excited about their journey ahead. Many praised Marshall in these final messages and claimed that they were very much looking forward to the afterlife. Of course, Marshall also recorded his own video, mm-hmm. that of which you can also watch. So this was the plan. The group was going to commit suicide when the comet was going by
yeah.
through the sky.
Yeah.
Before they followed through, they ate a last supper together out on the town at Marie Callender's restaurant in Carlsbad. Whoa. They all ordered the same thing. They got iced tea, salad, turkey pot pie, and cheesecake with blueberries for dessert.
Oh, that sounds really good. I love a pot pie.
I know. It's so good. A waiter at the time reported to the paper what they ate and that they all seemed like very nice, very friendly, very polite people.
Aww.
According to her, no one seemed depressed at all.
Wow.
So kind of beautiful. And
they were just excited.
Yeah. On March 22nd, the suicides began. Labeled the routine, the document outlined a process by which a group of 15 people would kill themselves, assisted by 8 other people, and then a second group of 15 would die, also assisted by 8 people. Eventually, there was a final group of 9 people that slowly all did the same thing.
Wow.
Members took barbiturates and alcohol and placed bags over their heads to suffocate.
Oh my god.
Once the members died, a purple shroud, like the bag would be removed, yeah. A purple shroud would be placed over their body, covering their faces, and everyone was laying in their bunk beds or beds face up. They had an armband that read Heaven's Gate Away Team, like uh-huh. a patch.
Yeah.
And next to their bodies were pouches with their IDs and whatever money they had left.
Right.
And also beside them, or like under the bed or whatever, mm-hmm. they had their like suitcase packed mm-hmm. of their earthly belongings.
Right.
Which is kind of interesting because I was like, didn't they get rid of all their earthly belongings and they're supposed to leave it all behind? But
I think that is leaving them all behind.
I guess so. I thought that they were packing them so that they could bring them into the afterlife.
No, I think they're packing them so they can leave them behind. Oh, okay. When they ascend to the spaceship.
I see. Yeah. Anyway, as we said at the beginning, they were all found wearing black tracksuits and Nike shoes.
Mm-hmm.
These apparently were chosen because of the cheap cost, but also Marshall loved Nike.
Yeah.
You know how Nike's tagline is just do it?
Yeah.
But they would say just Doe it. Because Marshall's name was God. Doe. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The deaths occurred over the course of 3 days, and Marshall was one of the last 4 people to die. 3 assistants helped him die, and then they had killed themselves.
Oh, wow.
So
I'm
there
surprised
was...
he didn't want to go last.
I know. Well, I think he wanted them to... They probably wanted to help.
Him. Yeah.
Like, no, you go.
Right.
Oh. I'm kind of fucked up. I know. The last few people that had died, of course, like, the bags were left on their heads because there was no one, and they weren't covered in the shroud. And that part makes me a little bit sad because, like, they don't get the same kind of, like, ritual as the other people do. But hey ho, maybe they're all together on the spaceship. Packages were sent out to numerous Heaven's Gates affiliated individuals and one media outlet, the BBC. This is where we get back to the beginning, where Rio D'Angelo gets the package
mm-hmm.
with the videotapes of Doe's final exit and farewell messages of followers, the letter with the statement, mm-hmm. and then that's when he goes to the house to record what he finds. The suicides encouraged the suicide of a man who had no connection to the cult, but wanted to join the Hale-Bopp Comet UFO.
Oh.
As well, 3 additional former members of the cult also died by suicide in the following months after the group suicide.
Whoa.
They were like, we actually don't want to be left behind.
But it's months after.
I know.
So how did that...
I don't know.
How did they think they'd get on the ship?
I don't know. Or maybe they were just, like, devastated by losing their group, their, like, ex-group members.
Yeah.
Because that's still, like, a family, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
It's so fucking hard.
Yeah, that's really rough.
Another interesting fact, on the same day as the Heaven's Gate suicides,
uh-huh.
5 members from the Order of the Solar Temple, which is another cult
yes.
that maybe I'll cover sometime, they also died in a mass yes. suicide. They had similar beliefs and also thought that their souls would be transported into space.
Yeah.
So a lot of people get those, like, mixed up, but mm-hmm. they are different, but it ended on, like, the same day.
Wow.
So this, of course, shocked the world. It was the largest group suicide involving U.S. citizens since the 1978 Jonestown massacre.
Wow.
It turned into a media circus, and family members were contacted through the ID cards. People wanted to know why and how this could happen. But at the end of the day, it's a little bit simple, you know? I mean, it's complicated, but also, like, people were isolated. A cult member said that Marshall not only isolated the group, but he also cultivated a really intense religious attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Many people had been in the group for around 20 years, building trust between followers and Marshall, and what they believed was so true for them,
mm-hmm.
like as true as the sky being blue,
yeah.
you know? And so it just makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone always thinks, like, I would never believe that. But, like, if you imagine yourself, even for a few days,
mm-hmm.
being with a group of people,
mm-hmm.
like, I think that you would just, and isolated from everything else,
yeah.
you would just so easily, like, join that, mm-hmm. you know? 'Cause we are creatures of, like, connection.
Yeah.
And it only makes sense.
Yeah, and you want to be a part of what you're seeing.
Yeah, exactly. So now I'm going to talk a little bit about the website again.
Website!
'Cause it's about, or not really about, but, like, talk about the two former members.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, they answer anyone's questions within a day or two, and wow. they make sure that the site stays the same.
Wow.
And this is a quote from them. "We do this to make the information available to those who are interested in learning about it. In a way, it's like planting seeds into the future so that people can get familiar with the ways of the next level and prepare for an eventual return." So the site provides lengthy explanations of the cult's belief, a warning against suicide, other than in their very specific situation. Heaven's Gate sees it as a futile act. And eerie exit statements from some of the members who killed themselves. In the end of this article that I was reading, this was on, like, the Rolling Stones magazine,
mm-hmm.
that someone was talking to the administrators, and they were kind of like, well, don't you feel bad that you weren't part of, like, the mass right. exit?
Right.
And the two administrators are like, no, that's such, like, human feelings. We know that they're going to come back and we are taken care of, so don't worry about us at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
And honestly, so, okay.
Kind of wild. And that is the story of Heaven's Gate.
Damn. I wonder if there's anyone who's going to take over for them when they die.
I know. I wonder, too. I don't know, like, I don't know how active it really is.
Yeah, because if they have been followers for a long time, presumably they're older.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, like, Doe was fucking old when he died.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. Let me show you.
Yeah, let me see some pics of these guys.
Okay. Oh, I'll show you some pics.
Oh, okay. But yeah, like, I wonder if there's people who will continue this website forever.
I know.
You know, like, will it go on forever?
That's how old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
He was old.
Yeah. I mean, he was born in, like, 31.
Yeah.
He was like 90.
Yeah.
No, wait, when did they die? Sorry, I can't do math. No, he was only in his 60s.
Yeah.
Looks really old, though. He needs to drink some water.
Maybe it's the lemon and cayenne.
Did you know, this is kind of a side thought, but did you know that the reason that people think that we all look younger these mm-hmm. days, as we getting older, uh-huh. as we are aging, is because people drank water. Whereas, like, before, that wasn't really a thing.
Really?
Yeah, like, people wouldn't drink so much water.
Yeah.
But now we're, like, fucking hydrated.
Hell yeah.
So it kind of makes sense. Water is life. The way of life. Yeah, water is life. Well, wow. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, everybody. We hope you enjoyed it. And thank you for sharing that. What a crazy tale of just life, I guess.
I know. Truly, truly a crazy tale. As always, if you or somebody you know needs help, you can call 988, which is the Suicide mm-hmm. Crisis Helpline.
You can also text them.
Yep, you can text them. You can also call 211, I think, as well.
Okay.
I'll put all of the phone numbers in the description area, as always. The Vancouver Island Crisis Line is 1-888-494-3888.
Mm-hmm.
And?
Well, if you're in a cult, call your dad, as Karen and Georgia would say.
Yeah. Yes. Call your dad. I'm sure that you can also find there's like a lot of resources online. Fairy Leaving a Cult, if you or someone you know are in one. I just but wish also, you luck. There used to be more resources. I feel like there's not as much anymore.
Well, a lot of people don't know that they're in one.
Yes, so it's very true.
Stay
it's
safe out there, people.
Stay and safe. Make good choices.
Keep your autonomy.
Trust your own values and your intuition. You know that gut feeling that's like, ooh, this guy's kind of spooking me out? Yeah, listen to that. Listen to that for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye. If you have any questions or comments, you can email us at
ghoulsocietypod@gmail.com.
Or you can DM us on Instagram at
ghoulsocietypod.
You can find all of the show notes, resources, and trigger warnings in
the description of every episode.
That's right. And that's it.
And stay safe.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
And they were searching for the meaning of life, some beyond the ordinary.
Oh, boy.
Essentially, what I'm trying to say, they were searching for the meaning of life beyond the everyday ordinary. The ordinary everyday. Can't do this.
You can do it.
Okay, I'm gonna do this paragraph again, okay?
Okay.